Book of Ecclesiastes tonight, please. Book of Ecclesiastes. There's one thing I know. When Bill's operating the sound machine back there, it's a little bit louder. It's all right, Bill. Hey, if you can hear it, that means the rest of them can too. So maybe we just need to put you there all the time. I don't know. That was not a good time to say that because you don't know what's in my message here in just a few moments. And so when we get to that spot, you'll all think, I know what he was thinking about. But, well, amen. Some guys fight sleep when they're in such situations, different ones. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and we'll ask his blessing. I'm going to read, three verses here tonight, chapter number 5. Father, thank you. This evening, for the privilege of the Word of God, we thank you that we can have it in our hands. Oh, God, may it be a part of our very being, and bless it now to the furtherance of it to our hearts, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse 1 says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." I'm going to go a little farther. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Therefore, or wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? From the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God." Well, what tremendous verses we have here. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a book that deals with vanities, and we find that Solomon, as he's writing this, goes and he talks about many areas of life that he dived into. And basically, everything he tried to do, he found it to be vain. And he comes to a conclusion at the very end, and he basically says, "Fear God and do what he says." And what's he doing? He summed up the whole thing, and he's saying to you and to me, that's what life is really all about. Well, I look at these verses and it reminds me of something. I've been convinced, really for quite a long time, that God's people leave the house of God the way they came. And there's a reason for it. Because we don't come with the right spirit. We don't come with the right intention. And though we be small tonight, and perhaps this ought to be for more than are here tonight, and perhaps we're speaking to the choir, but yet at the same time, I believe all of us are guilty of this thing. It's interesting, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he described to him how we ought to behave in the house of God. In chapter 3, in verse number 15, he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground truth." In that chapter, we find that Paul has described to them the qualifications of a pastor. He's then also described to them the qualifications of deacons. And then he says these words, that if he's tarrying, that they might know how to behave themselves in the house of God. It's interesting, if you turn with me to 1 Timothy, we're going to go just a little bit farther in way of introductory thought here tonight. But as you go into chapter number 4, we find that something interesting takes place. Immediately following in this next chapter, we find that he explains that the last days there will be some very seductive behavior of Satan. And then he tells Timothy how to combat it. And so in chapter number 3, he said, "I'm telling you how you ought to behave." But listen, he says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, notice here, by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Everything that goes into our bodies, everything that goes into our being, ought to be that which is sanctified by the word and by prayer. And so as we read the Word of God, it sets us apart. As we pray to God, as we speak to Him, as He speaks to us, it is a means of setting us apart. That's the word sanctification. In verse number 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He says, listen, there are some things that are coming down the pike. It's going to be in the last days. But I want you, Timothy, to be a good minister and to remind them of these things. Remind them of what? Well, we go back and we find, of course, here's qualifications. These are things that the people who are leadership ought to have. And then he's saying, here are the things that we ought to be doing in our lives. And that is what? Sanctifying what comes into our very being with the Word of God and with prayer. Tonight I want us to stop and consider the words of Solomon, how we come to the house of God. How will we respond when we are there? What should be a part of our being as we come in to church? And I look here and I find really two directives that are given. First of all, if you notice in verse number 1, he says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Keep thy foot. I don't believe that means you better hang on to it because somebody's trying to steal it. Okay, I don't think that's what's really involved there. And he's talking about a guardianship of it. We need to guard it. In other words, when we walk into the house of God, our walk ought to be affected by God. It ought to be affected. When you come to the house of God, what do you look for? What are you after? If our foot is going to be affected, if it's going to be that which is going to take us in the right direction, ought we not to somehow be looking for that which we can apply to our lives practically? It's not just learn something for our heads, but it's something that we might apply, something we might use. Now, an interesting thing is, so often we come to the house of God and we don't think we need any changes. We don't think that we really have anything that's wrong in our lives, and we don't really stop and allow God to show us, hey, this is wrong and this needs to be corrected and we need to go in this direction. But as we come to the house of God, we're there that we might, what? Have a change of direction. We get our foot in the right direction. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Interesting. We need to keep our foot. And we ought not to allow the thoughts that were never wrong to enter our mind, but to look at and allow God to show us the error that we might take it into the right direction. Very, very practical step for us. Keep thy foot. And then he says here something else that's very important. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Be more ready to hear. I don't do a lot of one-on-one counseling, but I do from time to time. People come to see me. Normally, my one-on-one counseling might take a minute or two. And somebody comes and asks me a question or two. They want to know this or that and wants a little bit of direction. But once in a while, folks will come in and just want to take some time. Might take 15, 20, 30 minutes and just deal with several issues in their life and so forth. One of the things I found so often in those kinds of settings is that the people who want counseling because their life is messed up, they're not interested in listening. They're too ready and too interested in waiting for me to shut up so they can talk. Don't listen. I know people, they walk in and they sit down and they ask you a question. Before you have the question answered, they're asking you another question. And before you have that one answered, they're asking you the first question over that you already answered, but they weren't listening because they were too busy getting ready to ask you the next question. You know what I'm trying to say? Be more ready to hear. And it's very important for us that we come with the intent to gain, to listen to, than to give the sacrifice of fools. An interesting thought there. God is saying to you and I, we ought to be more interested in listening to God and what He has to say to our heart than to give some sacrifice for our sin. God calls that a sacrifice of fools. God wants us to what? Sacrifice our being unto His will, not just something to cover over and to soothe our conscience. And thus we come to the house of God that we might listen. There's a problem with listening. And part of that problem is we don't really come with the intent to gain something, and so everything else gets in the way. And we don't concentrate upon that which God is seeking to give to us. We don't allow Him to talk to us. And so we have all of these distractions that come our way. Have you ever noticed that when you're very interested in something, you're not distracted? By the way, you know, it doesn't matter if you sit on the first row or the back row. When you really are intent upon it, you don't see anything else. You're zeroed in. Years ago, there was a game show that was almost called Concentration. And I think they had something like 30 squares they'd turn over, and on two of them would be the same little picture. And if you would say, there's number five and number six, and they were two different pictures, but you remember what was in five and six, pretty soon you said 30 and six, and you found out they were the same, then that would turn over, and I say picture, then there would be a picture that you'd be able to guess if you got enough squares on there. But you had to concentrate, to focus upon what is there. And so often we come to the house of God, and we do not have that desire to gain. We're more interested in giving the sacrifice of fools. In other words, we come, we're just sacrificing now, we're giving it up because that's the thing we ought to do, but we really do not pay attention and we don't gain. You would be amazed at how often questions are asked to me in the lobby that I just got done answering in here. Not more than 10 minutes previous. And because they heard one or two words, didn't pay attention to the rest, the answer was simple. And, I mean, you could say the roses are red, and you get out there and somebody says, what color were roses? You say, well, that sounds kind of dumb. Honestly, that is how foolish some questions I get are. Not that I don't enjoy folks giving or having questions, but we need to pay attention, amen? We need to gain from these kinds of things. And so God's saying, keep your foot. In other words, guard it. In other words, allow God to speak to our hearts that we might be able to change our ways. We need to look for those practical changes. And then God's saying here that we ought to be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. They don't stop and think about the evil that's in their life and what God wants to do in their life. And what's interesting then, God says we need to be more ready to hear, but the next several verses talks about saying too much. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. When we're speaking of God, when we're speaking to Him, it ought to be that which is got our full attention. And not just words at random, but things that come from the heart. And we need to be very, very cautious of even those things. And he goes on down through and he speaks of the words we have to say. And he gets down to verse 7 and he talks about in a multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities. And what takes place? Often we come to the house of God. We don't pay attention. We don't allow God to speak to us. And God says, basically, we have participated in vanity. It's vain. It accomplishes nothing in our lives. God has things for us. God has things for us in all services. God has things for us from different peoples. I got my blessing tonight listening to Lindsay play that song. It just blessed my heart. And I had no idea he was going to do that. Was that impromptu tonight? You just decided to do it? You'd have probably been really nervous. You'd been thinking about it all day. Oh, okay. You were nervous. You hit it well. Okay. It's good to be a little nervous. Anyways, we have things that are always there. God has those things for us. But we must come with a teachable spirit. That, by the way, is my definition of humility. And that is coming saying, I need God to do something in my life. I'm not perfect. I have all these problems. I need God to work in my heart. And so we listen to His Word and allow it to enter the heart and to do those changes that need to be there. Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we need to be very quick on this matter of listening, having that humble spirit. We must come with a desire to change our behavior to conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of James, it says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his face in a natural glass, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is, or he was. And so we come with that teachable spirit, that humble spirit that says, God, I need something today. And then we listen with intensity. And God speaks to us in many different ways, sometimes through songs. How many have ever been spoken to in a song? I remember years ago, when I first realized the power of music, Joda was singing a song. And I remember the song, and you know, some of you might remember, how's it go, when church is finally over. And basically a song saying, hey, when it's all over, where are you going to be at? And that song touched a guy's heart that was in the service. He walked down the aisle and got saved that day through a song. Music can do wonderful things. And a lot of God's people don't pay attention during the song service. Too busy running in and out and doing this and doing that and doing the other things. And we don't allow God to do those kinds of work that He wants us to do. And setting up here, I always see a lot of action going on. I wonder why people are going to the bathroom so much. We must have a horrible water bill from 11 to 12. You know, I don't know. And some people, there are some people that honestly have some problems. And there's some physical things, but a lot of folks, just any little thing. And we're allowing distractions to come. Teresa, I've got to say it again. I remember so well the conversation we had going through, I think, the state of Arkansas. And she'd sat here for 7 years and hadn't gotten saved. And she'd made a profession, but it was not real. And then God got a hold of her heart. And she got saved. And I said, how'd you sit here for 7 years and not allow the Word of God to get? She said, I never listened to you. Are you listening now? And she said, I didn't pay attention. I said, how'd you do that? She says, everything in there became a distraction. It didn't matter what it was. And some little kid acting up, I mean, a fly could be flying around on the ceiling. But when we come with intent and with a desire to gain from God, it's interesting how we can just zone in on and allow God to speak to our hearts. That's the need of every hour we get in the house of God. We allow God to do that. Amen? It is just a need. Let God do those things in our lives. And it's a wonderful thing. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Go with the intention of guarding those footsteps so that they can go in the right direction. And then be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Listening to God, allowing Him to speak to us in whatever way it is. I've been overcome in the last several years with our two sisters who played first with Emily, and now Christina does it. And even when we come to the end of the service and it's time for the the invitation, especially for God's people who know the music, the songs that they pick, even have something more to say, really about the message. And all of those things working, if we allow God that opportunity, allowing Him that opportunity. And too many times we come unprepared. When you get up in the morning, what do? How do you get prepared? What's the first things you do? What do you say? Oh, I better not repeat. That too. Okay. Go to the bathroom. Yeah. The first thing I want to do is brush my teeth. This morning, I wasn't going to get dressed in a suit. I was going to put on a pair of jeans. I put on this shirt, and I was just going to put on a pair of jeans. And I got a snowmobile suit that sometimes I wear. And I was going to go outside. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. Last night when I went in, the truck was not working. It was not raising the blade. And I called Jeff and asked him if he could come down. He said, "Dad, maybe you ought to check one of those things." Well, he came. I was glad that I called him because we got it done fast. He's still working, too. I'm feeling bad right now. Not that bad. But I was getting so anxious I wanted to go. Joe was in the bathroom, and I almost just pulled my pants on, put some shoes on, and took off. Then I felt this horrible thing in my mouth. But no, I got to brush my teeth. If I'm going to brush my teeth, just what I'll do the other, comb the hair and shave the face. And so I did that and put my jeans on, went outside and did those things. And I do that. We do things to prepare ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves for church? How do we do that? Do we pray? Do we ask God to do something? I've heard some people say, "Lord, do what you need to do in my life." And sometimes people have actually said this: "I give you permission to do whatever it is you want to do." That's a good thing to do. And then asking God, and if you have trouble with attention, asking God to give you attention. And that you might be able to zero in on what God wants you to have. Honestly, a baby has to cry really loud to get my attention in a church service. They can. But if I get really intent upon what's being said, whether I'm saying it or whether I'm listening, and just allow God that spot, it's amazing what takes place. And God can change and do some wonderful things. Keep thy foot. And be ready to listen. And that's something we do everywhere we go. Amen. Father, tonight, thank you so much for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, that we might learn from these verses how we ought to come and how we ought to gain from you. And we might even gain this understanding. And Lord, we might be reminded of it, and that we might just allow you to do those things wherever it is. Speak to our hearts and our souls. Lord, it's not always learning new things, but sometimes just revving us up in areas that we've lost some contact. God, work and bless as we go our ways tonight. Keep each one safe from harm that's around them. And we'll give you praise and thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, listen, God bless you. I'm glad you came tonight. Don't fall in the snow. If you do, make sure it's one of those thicker spots so it don't hurt so bad.